Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and thanks for tuning in once again to Enterprise Radio here on EPN. If you're not already connected with us on our various social media outlets, we invite you to do so by following us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, all at ePodcast Network. The ongoing pandemic has impacted nearly every industry and sector, with millions of Americans losing their jobs in recent months or placed on furlough by their employers. And according to Forbes, the pandemic has pushed women's participation in the labor force down to levels not seen in roughly a decade. What's more, women are being rehired at a lower rate than their male counterparts, causing many to refer to the economic downturn perpetuated by COVID-19 as a she session. Jennifer Reynolds is a former investment banker who focuses on promoting Canada's financial services sector globally, specifically within the U.S., as the president and CEO of Toronto Finance International. She is a sought-after media expert in the U.S., Canada economy, and international relations, and has been quoted in hundreds of top publications on her thoughts on the relationship between the U.S. and Canada's finance services sector, the hunt for talent as the financial services sector evolves, and the opportunities for entrepreneurs and investors on both sides of the border. Here today to tell us more about the short and long-term implications of the she session on the economy is Jennifer Reynolds. And Jennifer, thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Great. Thanks, Eric. Happy to be speaking with you.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Great to have you back and looking forward to hearing from you. This is timely information, and I'm sure that you have plenty to offer here on the topic. Tell us more about TFI to lay the groundwork and your daily role there to kick things off today.
Sure. TFI is a public-private partnership between the government in Canada and the financial services sector. And our mission is really twofold. Number one, to promote the Canadian financial sector and the Toronto Financial Center globally to drive great talent to us and investment. And then domestically, we focus on areas which go to the growth and competitiveness of the industry. So things like talent, of course, and diversity of talent, which we're going to be talking about a bit today, but more broadly in the economy. Things like innovation. How do we make sure we've got a really innovative ecosystem that's supporting the financial services sector and a great tech sector supporting it? And we also focus on other elements like sustainable finance. If we are going to move to a lower carbon footprint, what does the financial services sector have to do to drive capital to those types of initiatives to make that happen? So we clearly weigh in on a lot of policy and regulatory work, but we certainly are very interested in the talent pool and the workforce in not just Canada, but around the world. So hence our interest in thinking about this whole she session and how that's impacting the global economy.
Now, in your opinion, Jennifer, how do you feel the pandemic has widened the gap in corporate America? Talk to us about that.
Well, I think, unfortunately, it will widen the gap. So there's a few different dynamics at play. Number one, what we've seen is women were much harder hit with job losses with the pandemic. And secondly, they also have been slower to come back than men in many sectors. Women tend to dominate in service sectors, and those jobs aren't coming back as quickly. We're also seeing a lot of women drop out of the workforce entirely. They aren't even looking right now. Clearly childcare is a big factor there. If they've got their children at home, if there's no school, no daycare, women aren't able to go back. So that's going to clearly hold up women's progress. The longer they stay at home, the harder it is to go back. And, you know, you lose ground. Every year you're not in the workforce is sort of not just a year lost in terms of your income, but also in terms of your career development. So I do see this pandemic, unfortunately, pushing women back in terms of the gains we've made, both generally in terms of wage gap, in terms of labor participation rates, and certainly within the corporate world as well. It will be felt really everywhere in the economy across sectors.
Now, as we kicked off this episode of Enterprise Radio, we did make mention of the she session. That's a tongue twister. What is the short and long-term implications of the she session on the economy?
Yeah, definitely. Well, there was a report out recently from Citibank, and they looked globally at job losses as a result of the pandemic. And so 44 million people, these numbers exclude China, but 44 million people lost their jobs globally. And women accounted for 31 million of those layoffs. So That is very important, not just to each of those women who lost their jobs. It's really important to the global economy because all of those women were clearly earning money for the families and then going out in the economy and spending that money. And so Citi actually estimated that the result would be a decline of economic output of $1 trillion globally as a result of those job losses for women. So this is not just a issue that women have to worry about. This is an issue for everybody. Every family, every person, man and woman, needs to think about the loss in economic productivity that's happening as a result of women not working. You know, there was an article actually a few years back from The Economist, the magazine The Economist, and they actually called women that they were basically the driving force of growth in the last couple of decades in the economy. So just having us participating in the labor force in more significant ways has been a huge factor in GDP growth. So we need to think about that. This is not something we can just push off and say, oh, well, let's just get anyone back to work at this point and not think about the gender lens that we should be putting on that, because the longer we delay getting women back to work, the slower the recovery will be in the economy overall.
That is so true and well stated as well. Now, what corporate and government support has been required to help women rebound and re-enter the workforce? Give us some details on that.
Yeah, I think there's a few things. And number one at the top of the agenda has to be what's happening with childcare in schools. You know, clearly we want everyone to be going back to school safely. We want childcare to be safe. But we need to put that at the top of the agenda because we can't get the vast majority of women back if we don't solve for that problem. So governments need to be thinking about that very hard, how we get kids back safely and how we provide safe childcare. I think we also need to make sure that we've got women at the table as we start to think about what needs to be done here to make sure that their perspective is included and they're not sort of just being legislated at. Let's make sure that the right people were in the room determining what kinds of initiatives government and private sector should be taking. We need to make sure we're focusing on sectors where women tended to dominate and making sure we're driving some help funding there, service sectors that would be accommodation and retail, health, those types of areas were very hard hit, and women dominate employment in those areas. So thinking about where is help going when we're putting dollars into the economy, and is it going to reach women as well? The other thing longer term we need to think about is some of these jobs that we lost during the pandemic may not come back. Some of these service jobs. We've managed to transform from a digital perspective many businesses dramatically. And so that actually might result in some jobs not coming back. And I think women will probably be disproportionately hit there in a lot of these service areas, which perhaps, you know, as a result of digitalization may not come back. So we need to think about how do we retrain those people? How do we figure out the jobs of the future for them and figure out how we're going to get them back into the economy in a productive way and a longer term fix, right? They don't just need a job for this year or the next 6 months. They need something that's going to be, you know, a career, a long lasting employment for them. So I think that piece around retraining will actually be really, really important. And then the other thing I would add is just thinking about where women work, not just in terms of, you know, industry like services or construction or things like that, but women do tend to dominate in small and medium-sized businesses. So I think there's a broader issue for the economy outside of just gender, but we really need to support our small and medium-sized businesses. They've been so hurt by this pandemic, and helping to support them will actually have a positive impact on the gender gap as well in terms of the economy, because a lot of women are working there. A lot of women are also working in the not-for-profit sector and charity sectors. Those have been very hard hit by the pandemic. So how do we make sure that as we think about stimulus spending and support that may be coming from the private sector too, how do we make sure it goes to areas like that, which will then positively impact employment of women as well?
Certainly facing trying times, and Jennifer, really appreciate all the information so far today. We're joined by Jennifer Reynolds, the President and CEO of Toronto Finance International, or TFI, a public-private partnership between Canada's three levels of government, the financial services sector, and academia, here on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, in your opinion, how will the COVID-19 recession widen the gender gap pay?
I actually do think it's going to widen it. I mean, I think certainly, you know, let's call it ballpark in North America, in and around 75 cents on the dollar would be the gap that we see in annual earnings between men and women. And, you know, the fact that women aren't working, they're not getting back into the workforce as quickly, sets them back over the long term. Even if they end up going back a year from now, 2 years from now, they've been set back in their career, and therefore they will be earning less. So we need to really think about how we make sure we get them back so that we don't have that longer-term implication on the wage gap. I think the other thing to think about, which is very important on the wage gap discussion, is part of it is the types of jobs that women are in. As we were talking about, women dominate in service sector jobs. Those jobs tend to be the lower-paying ones. How are we going to make sure that women are going into all parts of the economy? How do we make sure we have better gender diversity in all sectors? Because that would actually effectively lower the wage gap as well. Men tend to be in some of the higher paying, they're dominating in some of the higher paying professions, technology professions, for instance, or, you know, mining or things like that, where naturally the salaries are going to be higher in some of those areas. So we need to get women in all parts of the economy to help narrow that wage gap, certainly. And if you think about it, women have been at least 50% of the university graduates for you know, close to 30 years. So we should be in all parts of the economy. There's no education gap by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, today there's more women graduating than men from universities. So it isn't a fact that we're not educated enough. That's not the factor. It's just how do we make sure we get women in all parts, in all sectors of the economy? That in itself would also help to reduce the wage gap as well.
It certainly does make a lot of sense. Thanks for your input there. Now, shifting gears just a little bit, Toronto, obviously, it has always been a great city to do business in and certainly a great place to visit as well. Are women experiencing the same issues in Canada?
Yes, we are. Unfortunately, we've seen same dynamic in terms of the service sector jobs going in significant numbers, and we've seen men return to work more quickly as well in areas like construction, for instance, where they opened up earlier, they've been rehiring more quickly than some of the service jobs. So this dynamic is by no means it doesn't discriminate in terms of where it is and what country it's in. I think we're seeing it almost everywhere, this particular dynamic. So, and it's something that, you know, we're very concerned about. We are seeing some action, thankfully, from bigger corporations starting to highlight this issue and starting to think about how they make sure that they don't lose the women they have, and also thinking about that retraining component I was mentioning. So if a lot of these service jobs don't come back to the economy, where are we going to send these people in the future, and where are those jobs of the future? So there's a lot of talk in Toronto, and there was, quite frankly, even before the pandemic, as technology was evolving jobs very quickly, a lot of those were service jobs where women dominated. So we really do need to think more broadly about making sure that women aren't dominating in those professions that actually are falling away in terms of the numbers of jobs and they're, you know, on a more permanent basis. So how do we make sure that we're using our workforce competitively or, you know, effectively on that front? That's very important as well. And certainly, I mean, just overall diversity is a very hot topic in Canada as well today. It's not just in the U.S. It's very much something that both corporate Canada and Canada more broadly is thinking very hard about, making sure that diversity overall is something we're seeing throughout the economy. Because I think, you know, what we see too often is in Canada, we're actually very diverse in terms of all types of ethnicities, but we're not seeing necessarily that diversity in the top levels of corporate Canada. And I think that's something that we're trying to think really hard about, is if our workforce is very diverse, our leadership should be very diverse as well.
Definitely appreciate your point of view and your thoughts in those regards. Now, for those that are looking to get into the financial sector, I know you're of help in this. Now, maybe new grads who are looking to relocate to Toronto specifically or start a business there, do you have any tips for them, for those that fall into that category?
Absolutely. The fact is, Canada depends on immigration for our economic strategy. It's very much a part of it, and so we're a very welcoming place to be. Over 50% of the people who live in Toronto actually weren't born in Canada, so we have a fast-track process, actually, for particular professions where you can get into the country within weeks. So we really are welcoming to those who want to bring their talents to Toronto and to Canada. So certainly, if you get in touch with, you can reach out to us at PFI, and we can be helpful in directioning people the right way. But if you reach out to the trade services within Canada as well, I think you'll find there's lots of different people who will help and who are certainly looking for talent. You know, right now we're talking a lot about job loss in the world right now, and in Canada certainly, but it remains actually that we have actually certain areas where we just really are looking for talent and we have jobs ready for people. And that's why immigration is so important to our strategy. So there are certainly areas of growth, despite, you know, how negative the tone is in the economy at many times right now. There still are areas where we are crying out for talent. And so really are looking for that, not just domestically, but internationally.
Now, Jennifer, I would like to get a little input from you in regards to the virtual world of work that we are now in. Do you believe that the virtual world is conducive to women in the financial sector? Since we last spoke, has there been any more progress with women in the financial sector? And is there a recruitment effort per se, or do you see an increase in hirings in the financial region in Toronto that could be before the COVID, during the COVID, or even post-COVID?
Yeah, gender diversity has been a high area of priority for the financial services sector. And I do think we've made, we certainly have made progress over the years. I think that we have very good diversity up to, in terms of gender diversity, up to about the, you know, the mid-level. The challenge we're having right now is making sure that those women get into senior leadership roles. So those corporations who are the strongest on this front have been very disciplined about looking at their pipeline from junior levels to mid-levels to senior levels and tracking what that looks like. And so we're starting to see in some of the big banks, for instance, you know, at VP, vice president level and above, in 35-40%. So that's a lot of progress over, call it the last 5 to 10 years. The executive suite is kind of that last area we still need to work on. There's no doubt about it. We need to crack that because we're not seeing enough women in the executive suite, and we're certainly not seeing them in CEO chairs in the financial services industry or more broadly in the economy, but certainly in financial services. So that's kind of where we're at. But the industry is very focused on it from a recruitment level. They're actively trying to recruit women both, you know, in university, but more broadly, and try to actually, you know, in a way, I think that many people think, you know, financial services, capital markets are very male dominated, perhaps not an attractive place to be for a woman, not the kind of environment they want to be in. But that's actually a really dated view. You know, too much Wolf of Wall Street sort of dialogue out there. It's actually, from a work environment perspective, you know, a great place to work for women. And so part of it is changing perspectives and really trying to attract women who might not be thinking about financial services and trying to get them to think about jobs that we have, number one, which are very, very diverse. We're looking for all kinds of different people. But again, offer, you know, a good environment to be working in. So, and you know, even things like childcare, I think the industry's become much more supportive on. So I think that's another important element. As you know, our, you know, if you think about maternity leave and the parental leave in Canada, it's, you know, very different system here. So the support really helps women, I think, stay in the workforce, certainly, but then continue to progress in their careers.
And that is certainly a huge plus right there. Well, Jennifer, always good to speak with you and really appreciate your taking out a moment to be with us here today. As we conclude, tell us, I know you mentioned TFI and how you can help. What are the benefits of actually becoming a member of TFI? And if one wanted to become a member of TFI, what do businesses have to do to become a member?
Well, they can reach out through our website, tfi.ca. Usually the reason people would join, where clearly they're in the financial services sector or they're a service provider to the financial services sector. And so it makes sense to be in that network and to be a part of the things that we're doing. And then we also have people who are not Canadian, obviously, but are from different countries who would like to be a part of this and who are thinking about the Canadian market, either immigrating there or bringing their business there. And so it gives them a great way to get to know people in our market and to understand, you know, what's happening in the Canadian financial services sector and what are the opportunities for them in our particular market.
Fantastic. Good stuff there. Again, folks, it is tfi.ca. Jennifer, all the best and look forward to our next conversation right here on Enterprise Radio. Thanks so much.
I do as well. Thanks very much.
Again, we've been speaking with Jennifer Reynolds, the president and CEO of Toronto Finance International, a public-private partnership between Canada's three levels of government, the financial services sector, and academia. And for further details, visit tfi.ca. EPN.ca. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.